I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And for the first time in a while in a non-holiday capacity, we are back in the studio on a Friday. Let us know how you're doing this morning. 877-881-1053, Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh man, listen to that mic move, Corey Majors. And of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck we doing today?
A little WD-40 might help out, or maybe I just adjust things with the microphone off. That's a possibility, sure. But, you know, life happens. Kevin's in the middle of an ad, and all of a sudden his microphone just starts spinning like a pinwheel.
That did happen.
Things are good right now. I am wondering, 877-881-1053, as you were saying, do you miss us? If you've been out with us at the Taco Buenos, Julio's, and Freebirds all over DFW, do you miss seeing our faces? Or are you like, nope, faces for radio?
Aw.
A lot of people say that.
That's hurtful.
They think it's a funny joke.
Yeah.
It was.
It's like whenever you go up to somebody who's got like an unusual name and you make that joke that they've heard 8 million times.
Like Adrian?
Yeah.
Adrian, yo, Adrian! She's like, yep, never heard that one before.
You have to decide, are you going to humor that person or slap them in the face?
She does that. She's like,
don't slap people.
She gently says, yep, never heard that one before, and smiles, and they always think that she's telling the truth, when in reality,
she's just nice.
She has mentally stabbed them in the chest.
Well, let's hope
but
it doesn't come
do that
to that
for
today.
Real, Kevin. Yes. You can do that in the mental world, but not the physical world.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that. Mr. Medford, how are you doing this morning?
I was doing great until I decided to take a piece of gum and chew on that, and then I bit the inside of my mouth twice within like a 5-minute period. Mm. So now I'm just mad at myself because I'm like, I clearly didn't learn my lesson. So here we are. I'm in pain.
Never bite again.
Kevin Smith.
Is that the lesson you would have learned? Bite anymore?
You know what? Good point, Majors. I'm just not going to eat.
Hey, well, okay. See, I think that was a little more extreme than mine.
Eat. Your skin and bones.
Another thing I heard all the time growing up that was like, ha ha, yeah, cool.
And that's why I got... That's why he bulked up.
Exactly. I was tired of
mass.
He's jacked.
Yeah, and I can't wear shorts. All right, let's go ahead and start off. Give me cut number 2. We will build to the crescendo of last night's outstanding college football playoff game.
Here's one of those second downs and 6. Beck feeling some late pressure. Launching downfield. Wide open is Marion. Another bust. And Miami back on top, 52 yards.
Man, there's a text that I really hope Corey gets to respond
to. No, I do not. Look, I'm sorry. I don't know. No.
Okay, because we probably can't read that one on air.
They messed up the first one and then sent a second one, and we're like, that one's definitely aggressive.
Man, that was freaking aggressive. All right, so... Last night's game, I know we talked about who won. Did you have a particular rooting interest, or was your rooting interest revealed as the game goes along? I don't know if you've ever felt that before. It's like, you're like, I don't know, I'm indifferent, I just want to see a good game. But then as the game goes along, you're like, ooh, okay, no, I'm definitely rooting for this team along the way. Did you find yourself in that situation?
Alec and I both picked Ole Miss yesterday. And then after Alec picked, I was like, well, I think I'm going to be wrong now.
I
was right about being wrong, and it wasn't your fault, Alec. It was more me.
It was the fact that Miami got to run 90 offensive snaps against them,
dude. And that's what I think I loved the most about this game. And I was talking to the program director from KRLD, and I was like, hey, you know, he was like, how'd you like that game? He said, I would have never expected before the season to be that excited about a game like that between those two teams.
Yeah,
before the season. And I said, yeah, I was rooting for Ole Miss because of everything they have going on. Like, that's a bad position to be in, man. To have your coach go.
For sure.
You're basically now the...
Who's allowed to stay and coach your team?
You're the kid with divorced parents.
Yeah.
And they're pulling you back and forth the whole time, and you're just like, let me just go out there and play the game I love.
And Chambliss out there saying, maybe it's my last game, maybe it's not, maybe I'll play again next Monday for the title. There's a lot going on in that game.
Fact is, though, you have two teams that are extremely talented. And that turned into an awesome football game. That's what it ended up being for you. So, Kevin, I got past the, like, yes, there was part of me that kept going, I'm hoping Ole Miss finishes with the win. But every time that one team scored, I was like, I can't wait for the next drive. Like, I want to see what this offense does now. And I told you this morning when I walked in, I wanted two things to be true. I wanted that Malachi Toney reception that wasn't a reception to be real. I wanted it to be a catch, Alec, because I wanted all of us to have that highlight for the rest of our lives. Be like, one of the best effing catches you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah.
And I wanted pass interference on the end of that so we could get more football. I know we couldn't kick a field goal to tie it, but it would have given us another play. And I just wanted more plays out of that game. You're right, though. They did a fantastic job. Miami did a wonderful job of beating down Ole Miss's defense, tiring them out by the fourth quarter, and having the ability to having the time on the clock. Ole Miss scored a little too early. They had the time on the clock, and they drove back down the field and left nothing left except for the 18 seconds for Chambliss to say, two passes, I'll get us in range.
Okay, so, and I want to get to that in just 1 second. From the 214, this is interesting. I guess this didn't bother me, but I know people have very... they can have widely differing opinions about the commentary. Man, the commentary was horrible trying to sell this game as legendary. I guess I didn't feel that way because I thought it was a super fun game that was really competitive with unbelievably high stakes.
Yes.
Like, if you're Ole Miss...
Yeah, they're going to the national championship game.
And Miami is looking for their first national title in 24 years? Ole Miss was looking for their first national title since the 60s when they got bumped out with all of the stuff that you talked about. This is now the third straight year with no SEC team even in the championship game. Man, I thought... And then meanwhile, the quarterback who scores the winning touchdown is in his seventh year of college football. Like, I thought there was a lot going for the game. And then, Corey, you referenced it. One of the greatest incompletions ever. I don't know if that sounds like a stupid sentence, but when they first ruled that Toney had made the catch, in real time, I thought, get the hell out of here. Yeah. There's no way that's a catch.
He looked too out of bounds.
Yeah, it looked like he was a good bit out of bounds.
I could have believed the ball was brought in, but I couldn't believe that he was in bounds.
Which, by the way, let's not undersell how amazing it was for him to bring that catch in, let alone try to get his foot down. But then when I became more impressed by the catch that wasn't a catch upon slow-mo replay, because I saw that he kind of almost sort of got in bounds. He got half his foot in bounds, which is a miracle. I thought he was like 2 feet out of bounds.
And my brain tells me, like, and they explain it, you know, and I knew it, but my brain was like, what, the first part of his foot was down first. And then I was like, but the whole foot, if he'd have just left his toe, which would have been impossible because he was trying to protect his body. It was an awesome non-catch. Michael Irvin said he's just going to consider it a catch because it was so great. And Michael, you know, that's not possible. But we all kind of want to.
Yeah.
It was that cool.
Yeah, no, I get it. Absolutely.
I think the concept, like, we could all pray that most of these NFL playoff games would be that exciting.
Or even tonight's game, right?
Well, dude, I have a great feeling about tonight's game. After what we saw last night, I think it's going to be a blast.
By the way, you know what's super cool? Four more straight days of playoff games.
Four more years.
Four more days. You're going to get us in trouble. But yeah, with college tonight and then Saturday, Sunday, Monday, NFL. How cool is that?
Yeah, no, it's exhilerating. But
question right now. Is last night's game going to be the best game?
No.
Of all of them?
No.
Ooh.
Every game from here on will be better. So tonight's game will be better. Tomorrow night's games will be better. And then the next day, every single one of them, it's just going to advance like a stair step, dude.
Okay. Well, good news. When we come back on Monday and then Tuesday, we'll be reflecting on the greatest run of football ever.
I guess I didn't have too much of a problem with the broadcast at all.
I didn't either.
I thought they were describing what was going on in the reality of it all very, very well. I thought, man, I just the coaching back and forth, Cristobal was fantastic. He called perfect timeouts for his defense. He made just some exceptional calls offensively. We talked about this off air, running the ball whenever you are near the goal. Like, that was brilliant to go ahead and do that. They did a great job. Miami did a wonderful job defensively. It was tough because Chambliss was on it, dude. He looks every bit of the part. The confidence that goes along with that guy, dude. I want him and Weiss. Bring me both of those together,
yeah,
and we will win all sorts of games because we will have a Brian Flores defense.
And honestly, he might be in the draft. He's waiting to see if the NCAA accepted his waiver, because otherwise he's already agreed to return to Ole Miss, but that's only if they accept his waiver. When did you think that Miami was going to win the game? Because I'm going to go back to the 3rd and 8. I still thought best case scenario right there in that moment, Miami was playing for a tie. And then you got the face mask penalty, which once again, I'm glad that they give you all the different camera angles you do, because when you see it again, you're like, oh, wow, yeah, he definitely grabbed that dude's face mask and whipped it around, and that's, you know, maybe he was going to make the catch, maybe he wasn't, but that's clearly a penalty. And it wasn't until that penalty and they got new life and a new set of downs that I was like, okay, maybe they are going to win it right here, right now.
So your question is, when did I think Miami had completed the win?
Are you going to say when Beck ran the ball?
No.
Oh, okay.
When Chambliss, when it wasn't called pass interference. Like, that one for me came down to the last second, because I thought that they could. You saw the passes,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
He throws strikes two in a row, and all of a sudden they're in position.
Unbelievable.
That was amazing for that. I did have something, Kevin, on for today's 1 o'clock C block. We are going to do the level of concern. And one of the things that I had after his, like, early 57-yard kick was, are you concerned, your level of concern for the future of the kicking game after how easy Lucas Carnero makes kicking look? And then he, like, banks one off the pole and then banks another one off the pole that falls in. And Adrian was like, how often does that happen? I was like, God, you got to watch more football with me. And he's been fantastic.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah.
And that malfunction for just a slight moment, just brutal.
So you mentioned the last drive from Ole Miss, but before that, Miami is, they're trailing 27-24. I thought their first and goal call was freaking brilliant to run the ball,
yeah,
especially because of where the clock was and your timeout situation. You get 5 yards right there. I thought they should have run the ball again, like a design run. I know they ended up running the ball, but I want to go ahead and play cut number 7 because,
oh, you,
man,
wanted Fletcher to run?
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. Excuse
you.
Me. Cut number 3 because Carson Beck gets the touchdown and he makes the right decision twice,
yeah,
in this play, and we'll talk about that in just a second.
3 receivers bunch to the left. Beck is looking that way. And still looking. Takes off running. Carson Beck with his legs.
Now, Alec, I don't know if you felt this way. We discussed it before the game. I thought almost straight away in the play, Carson Beck should have peeled off to the left, and I thought he would have scored. But then when you see the play again, kind of the all-22 version, you're like, okay, is that linebacker would have caught him. And then it looks like maybe he's going to get sacked, and then he navigates through and scores the touchdown. I thought that play was amazing.
It was just a theme of the night for Miami, is in the trenches they won in every single fashion. The protection that he had in this game was absolutely incredible. Even when it looked like, on that play specifically, it looked like it was going to fall apart,
yeah,
for a second.
Yeah.
But then they kind of, he does drift off to the left, and that gives them time to reposition, set their shoulders again, the offensive line, and they seal everything off. They sealed off an entire 2/3 of the field in front of him. So he had all day to make that decision. I thought he took too long to make the decision, but it was still the right decision because it won them the game. That's how great the protection was.
I'm so glad that you said it took too long, because I thought that along the way, but then I also thought he should have pimped his score a little bit and, like, taken a few more seconds off the clock. But then as soon as he scored, I was like, who cares? What difference does it make? And then Corey,
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
That's right. Boom, boom, back-to-back passes from Chambliss, and you're like, holy moly. And, man, they had a look. They had a real shot in that last play, and I know some people wanted pass interference. I like the way they called it mutual combat because I thought that the receiver was doing a lot of grabbing and hand-fighting there as well.
You can look at the score and go, how is this a good defensive game? And then you look at the first and third quarters and go, watch. And then say, watch the defenses play. Like, they played their asses off last night. We got what we wanted. We knew we were going to get big plays out of, like, good running out of Fletcher, a big play out of Lacey at some point, a big play, a game-breaking play out of Tony. And then you got two quarterbacks last night that delivered clutch, big-time throws over and over and over. Both of them were 23 for 37. Like, that's like both of them were that, but I don't know what more you could ask out of a college football playoff game.
Okay, so you walk away from this game being like, hell of a job, Miami. You're a damn good football team. Yes?
Yep.
All right.
And Ole Miss.
Yes, agreed. Regardless of who wins tonight, Miami will be a decided underdog in the championship game. They have been installed as early 3-point underdogs against Oregon and 6.5-point underdogs against Indiana. Now, it's complicated because it is in their home territory, but because of the corporatized nature of the national championship game, it's not going to be nothing but Miami fans there.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then Cristobal shut that down in the post game. Oh, now you get to go play for the championship at home. Yeah, that's great. We just need to focus on going 1-0 again, which is probably how you get to that point to begin with, by 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, but still feels
that kind of an underdog.
Disrespectful.
Do they know that his team had the flu all week and that they were dealing with that, the injuries they overcame throughout that game? Come on.
And you can only say the flu thing if you win, right?
Uh-huh.
Because if Ole Miss trotted out, well, you know, we all had the flu afterwards, you're like, boo, take the loss. But if you win, oh, wow, they won and had the flu?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Man, I hate to do this snarky of a tease. Coming up next, Mavs and Jazz, and guess who's hurt again? Next on The Fan.
You saw when he spun in the paint, Jazz sent another player to guard him. Bryce, baby!
Like ice!
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk some Mavs Jazz, and the rest of this was going to be, have you been watching and enjoying the maturation and improvement of Cooper Flagg? But
heck yeah.
I agree, but there was another thing that happened in the game last night. Should I assume? Well, I guess I shouldn't assume. I'm going to take a poll here.
You know what happens when you assume, Kevin?
That's right.
You could be wrong.
And I don't want that. All right. What was the hierarchy just between our first two segments of watching for DFW sports fans? Were you Mavericks, then college football playoff? Did you flip it the other direction? I realize you can try to watch both either on multiple devices or flipping back and forth,
yeah.
But what was your decision?
I get what you're saying. You assume I was watching Mavericks because it's local. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Kevin, I was actually watching the football game.
That is actually kind of what I assumed.
Because we talked about it first and I had so many thoughts on it.
Right.
But I was keeping up with the Mavericks game in a couple different ways, multiple devices, as you said. And there was one pass Anthony Davis had where he ripped the ball off the a rebound turn. Didn't even feel like he looked down court and just sent it, and it turns into an easy layup on the other end. I was like, dude, that's great to have a power forward slash center who doesn't want to play center that can do something like that, that can pass the ball with that kind of accuracy up court. Because Jason Kidd wants to be able to move the ball, right? Like he doesn't want to be a stagnant offense. That's what he was. I mean, that's one of the things I think he didn't love about Luka. He would mention that frequently. He was like, "Look, we have to have all of it. You got to be able to have tempo. You got to be able to play half court. You got to be able to do all the things." And so last night that was an awesome pass to see. And then watching that play with Flagg pushing it up court. Dishes it to Nemhard. Nemhard floats it back up, and he finishes. I was like, dude, I'm saying dude a lot today. For the future of the Mavericks, this could be a lot of fun with those guys. So that was my hierarchy, was definitely that. But I was keeping track of what was going on.
Did it end?
And what happened? What did I tell you? We need to beat the good teams and lose to the teams that we're not, that we're better than.
Well, that is exactly what happened yesterday, and I was going to ask, did you get what you wanted? Because you got an efficient shooting night once again from Cooper Flagg, but you still lost the game to a team that theoretically it looks like you're going to be jockeying with for lottery positioning.
Yeah, now they, now instead of being 15 wins, they're, you're at 14 and they're at 13.
I got you.
That's a positive thing right there, Kevin. You lose to the bad teams, it doesn't tell you anything about yourself. It just keeps you close.
But on the flip side, in a game that was in the balance, Anthony Davis was sidelined for the final minutes of the Dallas Mavericks' loss to Utah. He hurt his left hand. Afterwards, Jason Kidd said, he hurt his left hand. That's all we had.
He looked like he was in serious pain.
And I'm not, and I'm not disputing that he was in pain. It's just frustrating at a time where you're like, we're so close, and the Hawks cleared out the room, and they still have the assets that we want.
Maybe
you could make that happen. This is the worst time for you to get hurt. Like, I'm not saying that Anthony Davis is faking it or anything like that. It's just disappointing because you're like, damn it, man. We were so close. The team wants you, and you were out there.
It was nice. I agree with you on this. And do you still feel like Clay is a tradable piece at some point? Whether or not you're going to get two first-rounders for him, like, that's a different deal.
But I would trade Klay Thompson in a heartbeat. I just don't know what you're going to get from
him. Right. You got 20 points in the first, like, quarter out of him.
Yeah.
In his 900th game, which is pretty cool. Congratulations to him. You know, so you still highlighted that. I know you're right. You're right. Like, you – I'm not desperate to trade Anthony Davis.
Okay,
I'm not desperate to do it. I know the rumor has been there, and it has popped up, and I'm like, whenever they do it, I'll be fine. I want to enjoy the player while he's here for a couple reasons.
Yeah.
One, I always wanted the player here in the first place. You know that. We discussed the opportunity a long time ago of trading Dirk so that we could get the Anthony Davis in the first-round pick. And people lost their damn minds, because why would you ever trade Dirk?
Right.
And they're right. And they would have been right, ultimately, in the grand scheme of things. Don't forget, Kevin was the one that created that segment.
That was like 12 years ago.
That is true. That is very... Actually, it was right after the championship, so whatever.
It was even longer.
Anyway, I love watching him. I really do. I want him to be healthy so I can watch him while he's here. So it's very unfortunate that that happens. I just assume at some point he's going to be gone, and I'll be like, I never really got to enjoy that, because there are nights when that dude can do something special and this team can be special. So that stinks. It stinks a lot for me as a fan, but it also stinks for the part of me that wants to continue to be a team builder.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a good way to put it, but I guess at least if that is the case, then you did lose the game. So
yeah, that's a positive.
That, yeah, I mean, I suppose.
It's a positive. And again, watching Cooper Flagg continue to grow into this role. Yesterday, Rolando Blackman said something, Kevin, that stuck with me. And that is the part of, we need him to get to the point where he understands he's the leader of this group. He's the one driving this.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Train. And then when Kyrie comes back, he's still that guy. Like, Kyrie doesn't need to walk in and say, guys, it's my team, because everybody understands what the impression and the imprint Kyrie's made on this team. They understand it already. But now seeing the future is this kid's. It's his Ferrari to drive. You're seeing that. And him not let up on his aggressiveness as a player, that's the maturation, Kevin, that I'm continuing to follow and hoping builds up. And thank you to Rolando Blackman for pointing that out yesterday.
So I had a few things that I wanted to break down about Cooper Flagg, because I decided to kind of do a research project over the week about the evolution of Cooper Flagg at Duke versus what you've seen in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of capped it off where we ended off in December, but I can pick it up again with the last few games at some point. So let's go back to Nikola Jokic a couple weeks ago before he got hurt in the game and when they were playing the Mavericks. Jokic said, I'm going to say about Flagg, he's got the poise that he played with. He doesn't feel like he's so young out there. He seems like he's played meaningful games and was winning before. That's my opinion. He looked really mature out there. So if the best player in the game gives a thumbs up to the guy that you're now building your franchise around, that seems like a pretty positive thing. But let's take a look at what he did at Duke and how it evolved to the NBA. First half of the regular season. At Duke, Cooper Flagg, 16 of 52 from three. That's 30.8%. Not good. Not good at all. Second half of the regular season, 27 of 62 from three. That's 43.5%.
Mm-hmm.
That makes you a lethal three-point sniper in this league. And then in the NCAA tournament, 9 for 18, 50%. So you saw throughout the regular season, throughout the season at Duke, his three-point percentage got better. Why do we mention the three-point percentage? Because that's clearly been the weakest part of his game mm-hmm. so far in the pros. All right, October and November, NBA, 19 of 75 from three. Ooh, 25%. Not good. December, 13 of 39, 33%. Still not good, but you jumped up 8%. So you're at least starting to follow the trajectory of Duke. But what about across the board? October and November, 17 points a game. Scored 20 or more points six times in 20 games. Last month, 23.5 points per game. Scored 20 or more points nine times in 13 games.
Wow.
So that is a huge jump up. And probably most importantly, although I know we just discussed people might want this team to lose, October, November, this team was 6-14. December, 6-7. So you've seen the three-point shooting improve. So obviously you've seen the overall scoring improve from Cooper Flagg. And then you've seen the team get better record-wise. Now, I know some people listening might be like, that's great. I want those first two,
mm-hmm.
but not the third one. You can find a way to keep losing games, which you kind of did last night. But the point is, you're already seeing how much better he's gotten in these 3 months.
Well, and then add in, he's more positionally sound right now.
For sure.
Did you love hearing Rolando like put you at ease of the things that I was telling you earlier in the year, Kevin? He's not a point guard.
He's not.
They needed him to learn the point guard position
sure.
for the sake of learning what everybody else needs to do because he can play all those positions.
Yeah.
So in his mind, the way that he like processed that is, oh, I know I need that guy to do that. When I'm there, I will do, because he sees the game
yeah.
that way. He understands every role on the court. And I know I don't want to, I'm not bashing Luka here. Luka was the team. Luka was not a I'll be here for this and let me know whenever I'm useful. Luka was everything for this. This is now a player that is useful to everybody on the court in every facet, including defense.
And we talked about that leading into when the Mavericks made the finals. It felt like Luka was on the cusp of breaking NBA history because no player with that high of a usage rate had ever won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my gosh, now we're one round away from making it happen.
Right.
And if people still want to reflect on, like, I wish Luka was here and everything, I get it. But unfortunately, like, that's not
I'm just looking
that's
at,
not
I'm looking
change.
At the difference
no,
of
you.
What we have.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing that, like, we have a very, like, this is an interchangeable piece on everything on the court. And he knows a little bit about how to run the point if necessary. And at some
yep.
point, Kevin, I bet he takes that role on. I bet at some point, if they don't get a guy, he takes that role on and he's like, I got this. Let's just build a lethal team around me and we'll figure something out. But right now, the fact that he sees the game the way that he does, and he's aggressive and he's capable and he's mentally right there in it, dude, this is an awesome time for Mavs fans that are in on this bit of where they're going.
And that's why I'm still kind of stuck. because I love seeing Anthony Davis and Cooper Flagg play together. I think that Kyrie Irving is the perfect point guard for Cooper Flagg to play off of. So I realize everybody wants to, whether you want DeBonta, Peterson, Boozer, whoever. I get that. I do. But I can't stop thinking about, like, man, I want to see more of this combination. Like when you talked about, I want to see Anthony Davis. I go back and forth between, can we make a run at a top three or a top four pick, or I love watching Anthony Davis and Cooper Flagg together. Or what Rolando Blackman, again, yesterday, Kyrie's going to come back. That combination is going to be amazing. But make sure everybody knows that you're still the dude. And like, I keep thinking about watching those two play alongside each other, and I'm thinking, but for what? Do I think they're going to make a run at the title?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you just strip the team out and be like, all right, so we've got the dude, and so let's just start building around the dude right away with young players?
Well, we'll find out.
We will find out. We're the KNC Masterpiece, hopefully, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we got too much football. So no baseball nuggets today. Instead, props and predictions for NFL Wild Card Weekend. Next, right here on The Fan.
First and goal, Juszczyk in motion, leading the way from McCaffrey to the edge, to the end zone. Touchdown, San Francisco. CMC TD.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for props and predictions for the NFL Wild Card Weekend. We will get through as much of this as possible, and if we don't finish, we'll pick up some more of it in a bit. Now, in Week 14, the Carolina Panthers were 10-point home dogs against the Rams, and guess what? They won. This weekend, Carolina finds itself as the biggest home underdog in the history of the NFL playoffs. Think about that.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They won their division. They're the home team. They're underdogs by 10.5 points.
Dang.
But!
That's not good.
Isn't it?
I don't know. It sounds like not good.
It does sound not good. But let's take a look at what happens in these scenarios.
Let's dive deeper.
All right. The three prior largest road favorites. So that would be the Rams. They're favored by 10.5 points. The Bucs in 2020, minus 10. They beat Washington by 8. The Saints, 2010, they were 9.5 point favorites, lost to Seattle. The Steelers in 2011, they were 7.5 point favorites, lost to Denver. So the three previous biggest road playoff favorites, none of them covered, and only one of them won the game.
Dang.
With that in mind, I have presented you information that should lead you to think that perhaps the Carolina Panthers are going to win this game. Gentlemen, who do you think is going to win the Carolina Panthers-Rams game?
Rams.
Oh, come on!
Carolina Panther. Well, I mean, all right, I understand all the things you said. Carolina Panthers did have the 23rd easiest, 23rd hardest schedule. So that would make it like the 17th.
10th easiest? 10th easiest.
Yeah, sounds good. 9th, something like that. I don't know.
10th.
32 minus 9.
It's 10.
All right. What
count it out. 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32.
I think you added a finger there somewhere.
I might.
Yeah. Don't ever say that again and look me in the eye.
It didn't mean it like that.
But then I wanted to kind of look at their schedule. They beat the Falcons twice this year. Meh.
You know who else they beat?
Hold on.
The Rams!
The Cowboys. They also lost to San Francisco and Seattle late this year. And like they beat New York, they beat Miami. A lot of their wins.
Who else did they beat?
The Cowboys
and
Green Bay
and
the Rams.
The Rams
in a game that was chaos. Like that was an absolute chaos game. If you watched it, it was a lot of fun. I just don't think that Los Angeles is going to lose this one. I just don't,
Alec. Corey's a hater. I gave you all the information. This is prime for an upset. Panthers and Rams, who you got?
Yeah, you know, the history shows that this is actually going to be pretty tough for the Rams, except it's not, because they're the way better football team in this scenario. So they're going to go in there, and they're probably going to cover, and they're probably going to win, because their defense is way better, because their offense is way better, because their coach is way better. Now, the Panthers, I feel like they'll remind you that, hey, we have an idea. We kind of know what we want to do going down the road with this quarterback and this staff, but no, the Rams are going to win this.
Kevin, let me ask you.
I'm rooting for the Panthers.
Because from the 817, they will not win this game, but they will cover the spread. I believe that. I think they will cover the spread.
All three of the previous
That's
ones
a big
did.
Number. Because they do play a tough, they play tough defense. They're gritty offensively, too. I think if they revert back to being strong with Rico Dowdle and Hubbard and run like that, they can be good. Tatoroa McMillan's been a fun receiver. But I ask you now, because you're flailing about and you're furious with us for our take.
Yeah.
You go in to make a play on Carolina to win this game?
Next up, how many quarterbacks making their debut in the playoffs will win? Your options. Well, you've got Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, and Drake May. Over under 1.5. All right. So Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, Drake May, all making their playoff debuts. How many of them will win?
Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, Drake May.
I already know you don't think Bryce Young is going to win.
I think two.
Okay.
I think two of them can.
So you take the over.
Yeah, I'll take the over.
Alec, I know you think Drake May is going to win. So it kind of feels like the pivot point comes down to the Bears and the Packers, where the Packers are actually favored by 1.5. You going over or under?
I understand why the Packers are favored, but I don't think they're better in this team, in this situation, rather. I would say, give me the over.
Okay.
Give me the over. I think two of them will win.
Now, this is a very unique playoff wild card round. Four of the six road teams are the favorites.
Wow. That is impressive.
Usually, get a Carolina type, but four of the road teams are favorites.
I know, like, the New England is, did I say they were undefeated on the road yesterday?
That is correct.
And so, like, that's a big factor in that for sure. That's a curious thing, though. And I guess a lot of this year has been some really good road teams. The Bears are 5-4.
But they're both at home.
Yeah, they're at home. Oh, hold on. This is flipped the wrong way. Oh, okay. Cool. They screwed this up on the chart here.
All right, I got another question for you.
I did have a question, though, for you. With the Patriots and the Chargers, you think that Harbaugh is, like, consoling his brother this week, and he's letting him cry on his shoulder, and he might lose a little focus on his playoff goals?
No, because he is already thinking about next year's Super Bowl, because he said he wants him to be in the NFC so they can redo the Harbaugh Bowl. So it seems like he's processed all of the emotions of grieving really, really quickly.
So you don't think that he's just spending a lot of time sitting around?
Not even
like,
a little bit.
It's going to be okay, pal. Let's go play some catch.
No, he's like, if you live in the general area of Los Angeles and can play offensive line, come on down.
Please.
All right, so I'm going to follow up with those same rookie quarterbacks, Young, Williams, and Drake May. Will any quarterback making their playoff debut reach the Super Bowl?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Alec? Drake May.
Yep! He's making it.
2.5-1 on your money if you think any rookie quarterback will make it to the Super Bowl. Not even win the Super Bowl. Just make it to the Super Bowl. And then, if you look at this field, there are four number one overall picks in this playoff field. Which quarterback drafted number one overall will have the most turnovers this weekend? Trevor Lawrence, Matthew Stafford, Caleb Williams, or Bryce Young?
Man, I think this is interesting because it's between Bryce Young and Trevor Lawrence for me.
Ooh.
Trevor Lawrence has a tendency to fumble the ball, and that's something that stands out for me. So I think it's between those two. I will go with poor Bryce Young because of the defense that he has to rock up against. That's not going to be fun for him.
Well, unfortunately, poor Bryce Young is, in fact, the favorite. And this is the order it goes. Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, Matthew Stafford, and then Trevor Lawrence is actually the least likely to have the most turnovers. So 4-1 on your money if Trevor Lawrence gets the most turnovers. But what we've really learned is Vegas thinks that the Carolina Panthers are going to get murdered, death,
they
killed.
Well, they think the NFC South doesn't belong in the playoffs.
But you need them to win this game.
Why?
Because then when the Packers lose, you get a better pick.
Let's do it. Poor Bryce Young.
Yeah. Rooting for the Panthers and the Bears.
If we have poor Bryce Young, can there be a poor man's Bryce Young out there? Like, oh, he's a poor man's Bryce Young. If we already have poor Bryce Young.
J.J. McCarthy. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
The sixth pick, right?
Yeah. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. We will probably have to get back into this because there's still a lot more ground to cover at another point in the show. But coming up next, for the final time this season, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on The Fan.